Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Yud Zayin. In yesterday's daf, we had a machlokas about skinning a carbon Pesach when Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osh, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka holds that you're only allowed to skin it up until the chest because that's all that you actually need to facilitate the bringing of the Emurim, the bringing of the actual carbon itself. But the Chachamim say no, that you're allowed to skin the carbon entirely since it keeps the carbon meat fresh and you're supposed to treat the carbon meat respectfully. That's the best way to do so. The Gemara apparently had a tradition that the Chachamim proved their opinion to be correct from our Mishnah about being matzil a tikshel sefer together with the sefer, about saving a sefer cover together with the sefer. So the Gemara offers four suggestions of how exactly one has to do with the other. How did the Chacham prove their point from our Mishnah? Three of those suggestions assume that in addition to the machlokas about skinning an animal, there is also a machlokas tanaim whether it's a muktzah problem to handle the skin of the animal. But at the end of the Gemara, the Gemara concludes with the fourth suggestion that the Chacham argued that if we allow you to take out a cover for a sefer which has money in it as well, and therefore benefits both you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then for sure you should be allowed to move skin. You should be allowed to skin the animal entirely, not move the skin, but skin the animal entirely. Do that malacha, since it benefits you in keeping the meat fresh, and it benefits Hashem, since the meat is a carbon meat and it's used to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even though skinning an animal is normally malacha d'oraisa, so it would seem to have no shaychus at all with the idea of being metaltel muktzah d'rabanan, of taking a cover of tefillin, for instance, together with tefillin, which is an issue of muktzah d'rabanan. The comparison is still a good comparison, because we might be talking about the shakalei bebarzi, the Gemara explains, where you remove the skin in very thin strips, so it's only nisa drabanan, since as Rashi says, ein derech havshata bekach, it's not the normal way to skin an animal in that way, so we're not dealing with a real malach of skinning midarais, we're only dealing midrabanan. L'heichon matzilin also, the Gemara continues, l'mavu sheinam l'fulish, ben b'seir amar afal l'fulish, mishnah l'machlokas, whether when you save svarim, where you can bring them to, can you bring them to only a closed mavu or even an open mavu? But the Gemara has three suggestions of what the definition of those terms mean. What's an open mavui, what's a closed mavui? First suggestion is Rav Chista. Shalosh mechitzos v'shnei lechyen, zehu mavui she'enu mefulish. Shalosh mechitzos v'lechi echad, zehu mavui mefulish. Both types of mavuis have three walls around it. Question is, on the fourth open side, do you have only one lechi? That would be an open mavui, or two lechis, that would be a closed mavui, and that assumes, like Shitas Reb Elazar, that it's only, the only way to make a mavui permissible is to carry, is by putting two poles on the fourth side and having three walls, three full walls on the other sides. The second suggestion is Rabu says shtei mechitzos v'shnei lechyan zeh mavui she'enu mefulish. If you have two walls and two lechis, one at each end, so that's a closed mavui. Shtei mechitzos v'lechi echad zeh mavui mefulish. You have two walls and one lechi on one of the empty sides, that's an open mavui. That's a mavui mefulish, and that assumes like Shitas Rabbi Yehuda that when you have two adjacent walls, you need a lechi on each side to close the mavui. Of third Shitas Ravashi shalosh mechitzos v'lechi echad is a mavui she'enu mefulish. Three walls, one lechi makes it a closed mavui. Shalosh mechitzos below lechi is a mavui mefulish. Three walls and no lechi on the fourth side, that makes it a mavui mefulish. And even Rabbi Elazar, who normally would require two poles on the fourth side, would say for a sefer Torah, to save a sefer Torah will be extra mekel, and b'chad lechi sagi would be enough to have one lechi. Then the Mishnah on Beis discusses matzilin mazon shalosh seudas. Mishnah says you're allowed to save three meals worth of food from a burning house to the chatur. And there's machlokas tanaim whether you can always save three meals no matter where you're holding in Shabbos, that's Shita Shabbos Yossi, or you can only save the amount of meals that you need to get to the end of Shabbos, meaning if it's Shabbos morning and you already had last night's meal, so you're only allowed to save two more meals. We'll see in tomorrow's daf, maybe three more meals depending on how many meals you hold you have to eat on Shabbos, whether it's three or four meals. But Amar Ravim, Yitokshad and Baal Al-Mono, Yisharis Layas L'Chvir. The Gemara explains why you can't save an unlimited amount of food. What's wrong with moving food into a chatur? It has an Erev. What's the problem? So Rav says, no, we're afraid if you keep going back into the burning building, then you're going to come to extinguish the fire. And the Gemara has a different suggestion. Maybe the concern is Gzeir Hashem Yavi Kli Derech Rosh HaSarabim. Abaye says that no, we're afraid that you're going to end up carrying a Kli to save more food through Rosh HaSarabim, and that's why you're not allowed to save an unlimited amount. Nishbalo Chavis Brosh Gago, due to a concern that you might carry Kalim through Rosh HaSarabim, the Brisa tells us that's why you're not allowed to bring a kli to catch wine spilling from a broken barrel in midair unless you're already expecting guests and you need all that wine for the guests. And then there's a machlokas tanaim. What if you're not expecting guests? Can you invite guests just to make sure that you'll be able to save the wine? So can you pull off such a harama? And the Gemara suggests maybe that machlokas, whether you could do such a harama, is linked to the machlokas about also vespino. If on yantif, if you have an animal and its offspring stuck in a pit, so Rabbi Yeshua allows to do a harama to save both animals, and Rabbi Lezer says no, you have to leave one animal behind in the pit. So we see that it's a machlokas about whether you could do a harama. So the Gemara says yeah, but the two machlokas aren't necessarily linked. Maybe Rabbi Lezer only doesn't allow a harama in the case of an animal because there's another way out. You could keep the animal in the pit alive by just throwing food into the pit. Maybe Rabbi Yeshua only allows a harama in the case of the animal because Nebuch, you don't want to cause Tsar Bali Chaim to leave the animal stuck in a pit, but maybe it would be different when dealing with saving wine. The Gemara then has three more statements about saving food that we finished today's year with Hitzel Pas Nekiya, Ein Matzil Pas Hadra'a. If you already saved very high quality bread, you're not allowed to run back into the burning building to save lower quality bread because you're obviously only going to eat the higher quality stuff. In the reverse, though, you'd be able to run back in to save a higher quality bread so that you could eat that for Shabbos. Second statement, Matzil Miyom HaKippurim LeShabbos Avlomi Shabbos Yom HaKippurim. If Yom Kippur falls on Friday, you could save food on Yom Kippur to ensure that you have enough for Shabbos. But if Yom Kippur falls on Sunday, you're not allowed to save food on Shabbos to ensure that you have enough to break your fast on Motzai Yom HaKippurim on Sunday night. And third statement, that even though Radias HaPas is a Chachma Veina Malacha, it's not considered real Malacha, removing bread from an oven should still be done with a Shinoi, so it shouldn't be like a Uvdu Dechal, like a regular weekday activity. And then the Daf concludes with four different statements about Shabbos meals. First, Olam Yashkim Adam L'Tzah Shabbos, person should wake up early on Friday to go shopping for Shabbos meals. Number two, Chayiv Adam L'Tzah Shtei Kikaros, you need to have Lacha Mishnah, say Amotzi over two Chalas, Rav Kana's Minig was to cut from only one of them, but you always have a lecha mishnah. Number three, Rabbi Zeira Vabatza Akulish Rusei. Rabbi Zeira's minag was that he would cut a large enough piece to last him for the entire meal, and since that wasn't the way he cut bread normally during the week, it wasn't mechzi karav tenusa. It didn't look like he was being a glutton. And number four, Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi would use the eruv bread whenever they had an opportunity to do so for their lecha mishnah for their suda Shabbos, because hol v'savir b'chad mitzvah, the savir b'mitzvah achrinus comes up a lot in halacha. We'll discuss in tomorrow's shir. That when you have the opportunity to use something that was already used for one mitzvah, for a different mitzvah, that's always an appropriate thing to do, to use it for multiple mitzvahs.